the replacement for Maduro, Senora Rodriguez, there's no sign that she's yet going to break relations with China, Russia, or Iran. She's sort of, you know, like the female Rodney King. Can't we all just get along? You know, can't we all be together? So you're watching that. That's why I say I have no idea why about the urgency. Mm-hmm. Because all of the reasons they've given are just gaslighting, in my view. Mm-hmm. You know, the most recent December 28th, when with the complete help of the CIA, launched mm-hmm. a drone attack. 91 drones were sent to attack a residence where Putin's family members were. That's why he was so pissed off when that happened. I mean, it was just infuriated by it. Mm-hmm. So, but it does appear that Trump is set in motion a breakup with Europe. It was filled with nothing but lies, and these were the things he was being told by an official in the intelligence community. I believe it was CIA, but it may have been one of the other outfits. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you have U.S. government officials just blatantly lying about the mm-hmm. economic conditions in Russia, it shows that there is this desire to keep a confrontation going with a nuclear power.
Welcome back, everybody. It's just Steve Yang here with Natural Resource Stocks, where we mine for stories that matter. And to help us cut through the noise, I've asked Larry C. Johnson here from sonar21.com to join us. Larry is a former CIA officer and intelligence analyst, as well as advisor at the U.S. Department's Office of Counterterrorism. So, Larry, with everything going on, that's lots to talk about. How are you today?
Yeah, good. Yeah, like I described, is this like that white knuckle ride at the carnival that has got safety violations? You're taking your life into your own hands, man.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I don't even know where to start. Let's start with let's back date a little bit and go to Venezuela here. The Maduro capture was framed as, you know, counter narcotics or democracy promotion or whatever, but Trump has openly, you know, talked about running Venezuela and accessing its oil. It's surprising to hear a president talk so honestly in the intentions. But is this just a regime change by another name, resource control dressed up as policy?
I honest to God, have no idea what the real reason was. Because
the global reaction here? And are we underestimating China's response?
Yeah, well,
Larry, can
you
hear
me?
Can you start over? I can hear you now. Can you repeat that?
Okay, yeah, I've got everything selected. I really don't know what the real explanation is for the Venezuela operation. It doesn't make sense. I mean, let's go through it. Yeah. They claimed it was about narcotics trafficking, yet go to the INCSR, the International Narcotics Control Strategy Report, put out by State Department, you know, every year for the last 40 years. Venezuela is not the prime importer of drugs into the United States. In fact, most of the fentanyl that's intercepted is intercepted coming across the Mexican border. And it was ostensibly to stop fentanyl, which is why Trump did it. So that's a lie, number one. Okay?
Thank you.
Number two, we got to get that Venezuelan oil. You know, as I've said before, this is Nicolas Maduro is not Jed Clampett shooting a shotgun into the ground, and up through the ground comes a bubbling crude. The the oil that comes out of the ground or out of the bay in Venezuela, it's like sucking peanut butter through a straw. Okay, it's not it's costly to produce. It's like, you know, to produce a barrel of oil in Venezuela is not the same cost as producing a barrel of oil in Nigeria or Iran or wherever. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of actual production, out of 45 million barrels a day produced globally by all of the OPEC and non-OPEC countries, Venezuela accounts for 700,000. Now, I'm not great at math, but, you know, That strikes me as less than 2%, okay?
Okay.
2% of total global oil production. And that's a game changer? Are you kidding me? You're going to
Okay.
risk getting some of your special operations forces killed over an amount of oil that really doesn't make a bit of difference, and plus it's real costly to produce. The closest I can come to for the real explanation is this billionaire named Paul Singer, who owns Citgo, and he's got some refineries there on the Gulf of America or Gulf of Mexico, take your pick. And he's been a financial contributor to Trump, even though early on he was anti-Trump back in 2015. But he stands to reap like $12 billion settlement he got in a court judgment in November. That's the closest I can come to what the actual reason was. They said, well, they want to block China and Russia and Iran from having any influence in Venezuela. Well, the replacement for Maduro, Senora Rodriguez, there's no sign that she's yet going to break relations with China, Russia, or Iran. She's sort of, like the female Rodney King. Can't we all just get along? Can't we all be together? So you're watching that. That's why I say I have no idea why about the urgency. Because all of the reasons they've given are just gaslighting, in my view.
So, is it a safe place to start by asking who benefits most here?
Well, it's Paul Singer for starters. He's the only one I can see in this equation that comes up, making some money out of it, and doing well. It doesn't, the notion that we had to prevent China and Russia from getting a foothold in South America, they've had, they've been there for years. I started when I set up Berg Associates with, I had three other partners back in 1998. One of our first areas of focus was in Panama, and we were fo looking at product counterfeiting. Good Lord, the Chinese were all over the place. I mean, they were. I did a compliance review for one of the casinos. My God, the Chinese that were there, they loved to play baccarat, man. That was their game. That was their thing. So, and there were some decent Chinese restaurants in Panama. You're eating there. It was 26 years ago. And so now all of a sudden we're obsessed with Chinese influence in Central America and South America. Give me a break. I mean, they've been there for quite a while. It's now you got to step back and say, why is the United States now making an issue of it? Why? Because when again, this is, I'm going back 20 years ago when we were looking at product counterfeiting. The whole product counterfeiting business was fascinating because one of the people that brokered counterfeit products were a bunch of Sindhis. That's an ethnic group out of Western India on the border with Pakistan. They're Muslim. Usually their last names they end with like Andi, Narwandi, but these guys would go into stores and in like the cologne-free trade zone. They'd go in and take orders for, hey, what do you want to make? Do you want to make Nike shoes? Do you want to make Levi jeans? How about a coffee maker? Do you want a rice cooker? Whatever. We could make anything, and you could order it at varying quantities and qualities. And then the orders would get taken care of in China, and Fujian province was a major hub for this. But it spread out into other parts of Asia. So anyway, my point is, the Chinese have been very active there for a while, and on Cologne Free Trade Zone has at least three major ports. The Chinese have been running them and doing a good job managing them. So I said, this notion that, oh, well, we've got to get the Chinese out of our hemisphere. It's like, dude, what's going on now that makes it that adds the urgency? So that's why I said this whole there's an element of kabuki theater to this whole if we get rid of Maduro, man, our problems are solved. I don't get it.
Let's jump to Greenland because I feel feel I'm questioning of how related these things are because I've never seen a president act so quickly, fighting so many different fronts, regardless, disregarding its allies so quickly, losing friends so quickly, than I've seen this president, this group here. I mean, for Trump to say not he wants it, but he needs Greenland, I mean, like, that's calculated. That's not casual language. That's fixation. That's trying to understand if that's about rare earth, the narrative being, anti or self-defense critical against Russia. I mean, how much are you buying that narrative? And is there someone else who's benefiting that I don't know about?
Yeah, there's look, this is another example of more gaslighting. And let's, the rare earth minerals. Oh, we got to get the rare earths. Greenland, Venezuela. Okay, I live in Bradenton, Florida. 30 miles north of me, Mosaic Mining Company, who mines gypsum, they've got piles and piles of tailings. Those things are filled with rare earth minerals. The problem is the processing. Just because you can dig the crap out of the ground doesn't mean that, oh, hey, man, we got the rare earth minerals now. No, that's why China's running the show. They process it, and it's expensive to, and expensive, and it has some real environmental damages that China's been willing to accept. The rest of the world hasn't. I mean, that's why. And so, God, I get sick and tired of this. We get this bullshit. I mean, it's like one lie after
Larry,
another.
tell us how you really feel.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, we got to get the rare earth minerals. Okay. So, let's draw out the scenario. Trump claims, oh, we got to get it because the Chinese and Russians are coming after it. Meanwhile, Vladimir Putin gives like a 15-minute response telling about the history of Greenland and, hey, I think it's a good idea that the United States takes it. So, not at all. Not Russia going, no, that's ours. We need it. Russia's already the number one country in the world in terms of natural resources. Russia already has complete access to the Arctic Circle because, three-fourths of its country borders the waters that go up there. And on top of it, Russia's got 10 nuclear-powered icebreakers, 30 and 30 conventional icebreakers, whereas the United States, we got one. Okay, we got two, but one of them's broken. Okay, so we got one that functions. I mean, this is laughable. The United States is not even in a position, even if it devotes its $1.5 trillion defense budget totally to trying to get into the Arctic and compete with the Russians, we can't do it. So, that's a complete red herring. Plus, if China and Russia were really threatening that, Greenland as a territory connected to Denmark would be covered by NATO. So all of the NATO should come together and say, hey, we're going to defend Greenland from the Chinese and the Russians who aren't threatening it. And so this is, again, this is just a land grab, just like Trump, one of his first act in office. It ain't the Gulf of Mexico, it's the Gulf of America. Don't be surprised. This Greenland's going to become Trumplandia. Okay? I mean,
So
it's
why does Trump
ridiculous.
want green? What does one does you sorry does Trump really want need Greenland? Does it benefit national security at all here?
No, it doesn't. I mean, look, we don't have a single instance we can point to in the last 50 years where the United States asked to put troops in Greenland or to bring a ship into a port or to do anything from a military standpoint where either Greenland or Denmark said, hell no, get the hell out of here, go mind your own business. No, they've been entirely cooperative all along. So it's like this is. It's almost like a deliberate effort on Trump's part to destroy NATO, which is what it's doing.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. It's
Yeah.
like it's 'cause he seems so flippant to piss people off,
Yeah.
or I don't know if he's trying to, beef up the military so that other people contribute. I don't, first of all, I don't even understand the point of NATO anymore. I mean, it seems to have been unraveling before our eyes for quite some time. It's got an identity crisis, a confused political club. You know, it doesn't seem to be the unified deterrent that it once was. So,
yeah, you're exactly right. No, I mean, it's raison d'être, you know, the reason for being, disappeared back in 1991 with the collapse of the Soviet Union.
So does the Trump administration, what do you think, how much credence is there to the theory that he's trying to piss off NATO? Does this put America on the outside? Does this force NATO countries to put more military out there? I mean, what's the angle here?
Well, that's the problem. NATO doesn't have, you know, these other NATO countries don't have the military to deploy. Alex Craner, I'm sure you know who Alex is.
Yeah.
And Alex, I consider Alex a good friend. I have a different take. You know, Alex thinks Trump is playing 3D chess with this.
And I was going to ask about that.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Well, that this is secretly Trump's working with Putin and Xi, and that this is all about breaking up and destroying Europe, and getting them out of the way. I disagree with Alex on it. I mean, I understand why you could come to that conclusion, but then you look at the other areas where Trump is taking very provocative, hostile actions towards both Russia and China. You know, the most recent December 28th, when with the complete help of the CIA, launched a drone attack. 91 drones were sent to attack a residence where Putin's family members were. That's why he was so pissed off when that happened. I mean, it was just infuriated by it. Mm-hmm. So, but it does appear that Trump he's set in motion a breakup with Europe. And again, economically, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Because two of the biggest buyers of U.S. treasuries are the U.K. and France. Yeah. And so it's like, if you're like one of my number one, number two customers, why do I go out of my way to piss you off, to insult you, to threaten you?
Yeah,
because my idea of doing business is, hey, I want to make you happy. I want to make you buy more from me. I want to ensure that we have this great relationship, that you feel like you're my best friend ever. I mean, maybe I'm naive, but that's my understanding of how business is supposed to work, right?
Yeah, you take care of your friends.
And so here's Trump taking, you know, and particularly right at this time with the complete financial instability that has just been unfolding in the last 7 days. I mean, with what's taking place in the Japanese bond market, you know, they're in trouble, because if they start unloading U.S. treasuries, then Scott Bessent's got some real problems on top of that. So instead of trying to stabilize the system, instead of trying to say, okay, the last thing we need is chaos and unpredictability, because my understanding is that capital markets like predictability and security. The last thing they want is say, my God, we were playing craps here and we're rolling the dice just to see what turns up. And while we're doing it, we're sitting on a complete vat of gasoline, and there's a match lit nearby. It may blow up any time. That you know, that doesn't seem to me to be a healthy business environment. So that's where you got to step back and just say, what is Trump doing? I mean, it strikes me as that he is mentally impaired. And one of the signs that doctors use when they diagnose dementia is when a patient is engaged in confabulation. So confabulation, an
making
example.
Shit up.
I stopped eight wars. I should get the Nobel Peace Prize because I stopped eight wars. That's confabulation because it's not true. But
Yeah.
Trump really believes it's true. And his, oh my, oh, I did this. Yeah, I did this great thing. And like I said, that is a sign of dementia because it is divorced from reality. And what's so frightening about this is there are very, very few leaders in the world that have stood up and thrown the penalty flag and said, Mr. Trump, that's a lie. That's not true. I mean, the Indians have said it, because Trump takes credit for settling the Indian-Pakistan flare-up on the border. And Jai Shankar, the foreign minister, says, "Oh, you didn't. You didn't have a damn thing to do with it." And yet, he goes on, and they put him up, and they applaud him, and he gets to be the center of attention. I said, "This is a freak show. This is unbelievable."
So the market, tanking 1.3 trill in a day, like in that from that perspective, and then since then, Trump pretty much admitting that he's not going to, or he doesn't plan on using the military anymore to invade Greenland. So when I put those things together, I'm wondering, I can't make sense of his obsession and his sudden retreat. Those two things, is that defeat? Is that calculated pivot? Is this someone in his circle he's trying to help? Who thought this was smart?
Well, Scott Bessent, apparently. And again, this is, they don't appear to be thinking these things through. Just like, a chess master, when they were getting ready to move a piece, they've thought four, five, six moves ahead, thinking, okay, if I move here, the opponent could do this, or they could do this, or they could do that, and which is the most likely course of action? So I'm going to go with the most likely course of action, and I'll do this, and then in response, that's called thinking it through. There's no thinking it through here. Again, it's like we're at a time where the U.S. bonds, the yield on the bonds keeps going up, and it's going to cross into some territory where should start setting off red lights flashing. Like, danger, Will Robinson, danger. And yet, Trump takes actions that completely disincentivize people to buy bonds, which then means you do have to up the yields to try to get people. I mean, it's so self-defeating. And I don't see some great strategic mind at work here. Especially when you look at some of the people that Trump has hired, or put in positions of authority. I mean, good Lord, Howard Lutnick, are you kidding? I mean, keep him down on Wall Street, but keep him away from the U.S. Treasury or Commerce Department. It's just, and but then. To be the peace president, but as being the peace president, we've bombed Iran, we've bombed Nigeria, we bombed Syria. Trump's carried out more bombings than he has secured actual settlements to conflicts.
Well, I thought under this administration there would be no more wars.
So that's what we heard.
So this whole I'm not going to invade Greenland. One, do you believe Trump? And two, if assuming that that's true, and assuming that Denmark has no interest in selling, and Greenland has no interest in being bought, what happens next? Is this the end of the whole U.S. infatuation with Greenland, and is that being put to rest here, or what's the outcome?
No, they're going to figure out how to take it. But again, we have to define what taking it means. Because you don't take it from the air, you don't take it from a distance. You actually have to put people in there on the ground to control it, to you take it over. I think the time will come. He will put U.S. troops in there. And then it's going to be up to the Europeans to figure out what to do. And they're not going to do anything. what they could do if they actually were united, they could force US to shut down bases in Europe. They could start selling off US treasuries. They could do a lot of things to say to the United States, hey, we're no longer in this partnership with you. And look, the United States has already done that to Canada. I mean, look at what Carney has like turned to China and said, you know what? The Chinese are a lot more reasonable to deal with than these Americans. And then with the Chinese automobiles that are going to flood into Canada, they're going to be they provide more features, they have better electronics, and they're much less costly. And so all of a sudden, Ford and Chevy and is a primary U.S. automakers, man, they're going the way of buggy whips. China is just positioned to, kick our ass all over the place.
So we know that Canada has been, making friendships with China, I guess. But I saw this meme the other day. It says it paints Canada in red with the yellow stars. It says Canada will never be the first 51st state. We're China's 24th province. And it almost feels as though the Trump administration is almost intentionally pushing its allies away. It's like it has no regard. I don't know if it's just trying to flex his muscles. I don't understand the end of what they're trying to accomplish. And if it's just Trump, why are we giving such a small group so much power here?
Because they believe their own lies. If you keep telling yourself that you've got X amount of strength, X amount of power, X amount of wealth, and you don't, but, and this gets back to confabulation, you really believe that you do, then you're in a position that you're going to act that I can force you because you don't have any alternative. Whereas the reality is, Canada has alternatives. And other countries in the world have learned that they have alternatives. In fact, the United States got accustomed to being, we were the man on campus. We were the guy. You couldn't do anything without our permission, basically, because we were so strong militarily, we were so strong economically, we controlled how the money moves. And yet now we've come into an age where, like, we're going to punish you, we're going to take you off SWIFT. Well, SWIFT, technologically speaking, is the equivalent of buggy whips. In that transition from going from buggy whips to automobiles, yeah, you may have had the best buggy whip factory. You could have had gold-plated buggy whips, but they're no longer relevant. Because here's China with SIPs, with the cross-border interbank payment system. It settles in seconds with SWIFT. Yeah, you could be there for a couple of days, sometimes 3 days. That email got lost in spam. And that's what we're hooking our wagon to. And because then the other countries are waking up, hey, I don't need to do this. And in the past, hey, if I'm going to buy oil, I got to pay in dollars. I got to go get those dollars. Now, China's taken other, accepting people are paying or accepting yuan or the real or, pick your currency around the world. They're settling in local currencies. And at the same time, many of these countries are out buying up precious metals, gold and silver, because they're recognizing the United States has stopped using the dollar as an economic tool, and they're using it as a political tool to punish. And they said, by God, we're not going to be held hostage by that.
So, do you see? Well, let's go back to NATO. Do you see that dissolving? Do you see that where America becomes the outsider, and America has less influence and power? I mean, what's the future of NATO? And then, let's start there.
NATO has no future. I mean, NATO's, we're watching the early stages of the dissolution of NATO. I mean, it's, you join a club because it's exclusive and it's got all these advantages and perks. But when those advantages and perks go away and you're still getting hit with a, an annual $20,000 membership fee, you got to look around and say, why am I paying this? Yeah. So that, I mean, that's I think what's going on here. that oh yeah, we got the US has our back. And now the countries of Europe are going, yeah, that's what worries me. It's like being in a prison cell and the guy next door says, yeah, I got your back. Nothing good's gonna happen out of that.
So everyone's talking about Venezuela and Greenland. I'm sure there's a bunch of fronts, whether it's Iran, the Middle East, the Russia-Ukraine thing hasn't dissolved away. What are we not talking about that, maybe as we're being distracted from? Is there a tectonic plate that you're going, why aren't we talking about this? And does that concern you?
Yeah, we're refusing to look at our own economic disorder. We keep talking about the collapse of Russia and the propaganda that's put about how bad the Russian economy is. Right now, they're annually they've got they have a debt to GDP ratio of about 19%. The United States has a debt to GDP ratio of 127%. So who's in a better position to go out and have to borrow money to finance government operations? Well, that would be Russia, number one. But what Trump's economic policies are doing, he keeps thinking, oh, I'm bringing in trillions of dollars. Well, I know from I've got a neighbor. He imports sports equipment that's made in China. He's had to lay out an additional half quarter of $1 million that he didn't have budgeted. And he's hoping that the Supreme Court rules against Trump's, and that maybe he'll get that quarter of $1 million back. Otherwise, he can't afford to. He's worked through. He'd built up inventory before, but now that inventory's gone. So what Trump is doing is he's hurting small businesses, small medium-sized businesses in the United States. They're bearing the brunt of the tariffs, not foreigners. And so instead of build, actually making America great again economically and being solid, doing just the opposite. He's weakening us. And instead of us we the US mindset, and it's not just Trump. You find a particular you can't find a single major politician that's willing to step up and talk in a rational way about why we should be friends with Russia, why Russia would be a natural partner for us. Instead, it's Russia's an enemy, Russia's an adversary. So it's always in a black and white light that we view this. And when it's like with a 3-year-old kid who's got a hammer, everything looks like a nail, you got to hit it. And so the US mindset is we don't view other countries that may be on par with us as potential friends, partners, collaborators. We view them as enemies, adversaries that we have to be prepared to stop. And so we continue to sell this lie. Oh, we got to build up our military to confront Russia and China. And what happened in 1991 when the Soviet Union collapsed? We should have immediately said, hey, we can now cut our defense spending by 50%. Oh, can't do that because our economy depends upon sending money to Lockheed Martin, General Dynamics, Raytheon, among others.
So there are so many competing narratives out there. I mean, I'm having a hard time figuring out what's what. I'm having a hard time figuring out. I mean, like, my rule of thumb is one, so everyone always acts in their own self-interest. Two, what the media tells you, the main narrative is never actually true.
Oh, yeah, exactly right. No, that's
And
exactly right.
and then people use narrative for warfare. It's like narrative warfare is like, I'm having a hard time understanding what's true. So if you can help me, is there anything that you're hearing out there that going, wait, that immediately makes you stop and say, that's not right. That's not completely false.
Well, I saw an example of it yesterday. I have an old friend, Seymour Hersh. I've known him for 45 years, for God's sake. His son Josh and my son Josh were born in the same year, summer of 1981. It shows you what an old guy I am. But he put out a piece yesterday about Russia. And it was filled with nothing but lies. And these were the things he was being told by an official in the intelligence community. I believe it was CIA, but it may have been one of the other outfits. But the fact that you have U.S. government officials just blatantly lying about the economic conditions in Russia, it shows that there is this desire to keep a confrontation going with a nuclear power. And you know, one of the claims that this official made was that last weekend, Saturday and Sunday, all internet and cell phone service was shut down in Russia. Now, I'm in touch. I've got, you know, maybe four different American citizens who live in Russia that I, you know, talk to. I was getting social media from them all weekend. I had to write them back yesterday and say, "Hey, I bet you didn't know you had your internet shut off." So, I mean, that's what concerns me. I have never seen lying on such a massive scale. I mean, it was being done under Biden too. This, and I don't want to leave the impression that this is just a Republican problem. This is across the board. Our political system is so corrupted and so dishonest that you got to, whatever you hear, take a big deep breath and assume that it's the opposite is true.
Well, Larry, I'm interested in finding the right news. If you can tell us, the audience, what Sonar 21 is all about.
Yeah, Sonar 21, I try to do a daily write-up about, look at what's going on. Sometimes focus on the Middle East, sometimes focus on Russia, on the economy. I acquired some analytical skills as a result of U.S. taxpayer dollars paying for my salary at CIA. So now I can return the favor.
So what's your website and how do people find out and follow your services?
Yeah, it's rolled just Sonar, SONAR21.com.
Well, Larry, I learn so much every time I hear you, and I appreciate you getting on here with me to figure out what's going
Yeah.
on.
Hey, man.
I still don't know, but I feel like I'm this much closer to the truth. So,
Yeah, I'm
thank
figuring
you.
I'd like to put together a soundtrack, like we could cue up Marvin Gaye singing "What's Going On," "What's Going On," or Buffalo Springfield singing "Something's Happening Here." What it is ain't exactly clear.
The Larry Johnson soundtrack found only here at Natural Resource Stocks. Everyone, I'm just Steve Yang, learning alongside you from people smarter than me, like Larry Johnson. Larry C. Johnson, thank you so much for your time. I enjoyed it.
Hey, Steve, thanks so much, man. Take care. Bye.